D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field.
Do what?
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
What?
I love this podcast.
I think I'm starting to learn the song better. I'm gonna start doing background singing. I'm gonna get a little, start dancing a little bit. Something else we can talk about.
What else we can talk about, brother?
The meetings, NFL meetings.
All kind of rules.
Yeah. And like what's allowable. So all you guys out there, the things that we're gonna demonstrate for you. All the different celebrations that are allowed.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a little later in the show, but right now I'll just give you one example. For instance, if you catch a touchdown pass, you can do this. You can do that, all right? So
that sounded like you're constipated.
No, man. I mean, you put in a little energy.
That's what it sounded to me. Yeah. If y'all could have seen it, we should have had that on the sky so, cam there. You know?
So next, a little bit later in the show, Tomas is going to demonstrate for you.
Yes, I am.
What you can do after you catch an inbound pass.
Uh-huh. Tippy-toed. That's right.
The dances that you could do, the variations.
I have them for you.
Heath is going to do sack dances.
Okay.
And defensive stops for a loss.
All right, sounds all good. Right. We got this together.
So anyway, we just
my Cuban heritage will come out.
After each break, we'll demonstrate for you guys out there. Now I know you might be saying to yourself, but it's a podcast. Just use your imagination.
That's right.
You know, just you got like, oh, here's what you can do if you run a kickback off for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
You can like this and
I'm telling you, it looks like you're straining on a toilet.
Like a little there.
I guess.
Wait, you got to get your knee into it like
that. There you go. Here's one more time. You hit it right there.
Yeah, that's how you do it right there, boy. So you got to take. You got to hesitate.
We're in trouble.
Well, anyway, we're going.
That's called a restraint.
All right, breaking news. Breaking news, Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft has something to say about Malcolm Butler.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, I got something to say, too. So I'm sure I don't know who you're more interested in hearing about, but I got something to say about what he had something to say
about.
Sounds
good.
All right, let's see. Tomas brings version 1.0 to the table today. Saints only draft, the first one, mock draft, first one of the season.
Yep.
Big news. Apparently Sean Payton met with Johnny Manziel. It doesn't matter that it happened like back at Christmas.
Yeah. That's right.
That is irrelevant.
That's right. Over scrambled eggs.
Yeah, over scrambled eggs. And, you know, probably grabbed the guy and put a hand on the back. Yeah. Son, you got to quit smoking all that weed and slapping women around.
That's right.
You might get back in the league. Yep. Apparently he's on his way to New Orleans to sign a contract.
If you ever want
to
become a coach and get a 20-year-old, I'm just telling you how to do it.
Yeah. Taco Charlson.
Taco.
Taco in town for a visit. Mm-hmm. Interesting prospect. You know him and the running back.
Now, this is a whole different way, but there's not an S in that either.
No, Charlton. I got it right, too.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But it's not like the dance, the Charleston. Let me demonstrate for you. Hold on.
That's not allowed. I'm sorry. That was against the rules.
Right.
No, that's against the rules. Can't do the Charleston.
Yeah, you wouldn't be.
If it's a dance that you can tell what it is, it's against the rules.
Right. So, and then, William Clay Ford. Is that right?
Just from William Clay.
Oh, it's William Clay. He's not a member of the Ford family?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Is he? Isn't he?
Not this one.
Not this family. Okay, or not this William Clay.
Not this William
Clay. All right. But the Gary version, he got back to us with some info on Larry Warford, why he thinks he was.
That's a great thing he did to me.
Yeah, and he went into detail. He broke down, but of course he broke down the Saints-Lions game. And so he gave us an in-depth, detailed analysis, even gave us times in the game when he thought that, you know, that would be something we should look at to illustrate his point. So we have a bunch of stuff to talk about, as we always do. So unless y'all have something else y'all want to BS about, we can get the show started.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, Monday night, SEC Sports Pub. You know, the NCAA tournament, for me, it's over. It's all gone. You know, I'm sure there's some folks out in Gonzaga.
Yeah.
The city of Gonzaga is probably going wild right now. And or is it the state? It's probably the state of Gonzaga. Is it Gonzaga State?
Yeah. I think so.
Something like that. I'm joking, Tomas. He's looking at me like, I mean, serious. All right. So then, yeah, for me, I mean, if you watch that UK game, I mean, that was crazy. But anyway, Robert Kraft said no. It didn't say emphatically, but I put emphatically in my voice there.
Yeah.
When asked if the intention was to trade Butler, but he said he didn't want to infringe on his freedom, and so it sounded to me like he was saying that potentially, you know, he don't want to do anything to hold a guy back, like, because, you know, they do these things, they put these franchise tags on them, and it does it hurts their ability to go out in a free market and make money. But having said that, that's the collective bargaining agreement. That's right. The way it is. And but he said he doesn't want to trade Malcolm Butler. And my first reaction is, of course, what else would he say, even if that's
right,
the truth?
Right. You know, yeah. And then apparently, what is it, Belichick said the same thing, or, yeah. You know. But, boy, there's been a whole lot going on before we got to this point where they both came out and said they didn't want to trade him, right? You know, could be mending some fences there, you know, or like you said, what else are they supposed to say?
Right.
You know.
Well, I mean, because here's the thing. Let's just say the trade does not go down with anybody, New Orleans or anybody else. You still have, like you said, some fences that need to be mended.
Yeah.
If you bring
this guy back.
There's
probably some hurt feelings there somewhere, you know, and got to try to clean that up a little bit if they are going to bring him back.
Tomas, what do you think? Butler's on his way to New Orleans, sign a contract here anytime soon?
Well, my personal feeling is that I hope not.
I agree with that.
Okay, that's my personal feeling, because as we'll talk about when we go through the mock draft, I mean, there's just too much talent in the draft, and so I hope not. But I would agree with what you all said. If they're going to keep – now, this is the hard thing for me to understand, because I didn't look at the numbers for New England. They just whopped out $13 million for Gilmore. Now, do they have 11 left for him?
Oh, I don't know exactly what their cap looks like.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
either,
apparently, they have a lot of money. They
well,
started.
If they do, then, you know, maybe they can make one of those kind of contracts that you like, Dave. You know, where they pay them a buck today and then, you know, $10 million tomorrow.
Right.
So, but
let them have it.
For me, I just assume they keep Malcolm Butler. You know, because to me, he's not worth what they're asking for. And certainly with that kind of money, I mean, how many players can a Saints sign from the draft with $11 million? You know, I mean, I'm just saying. And so to me, now whether it's smoke and mirrors, now that's another story. I know that Houston was interested in, the Texans were interested in Malcolm Butler as well. So it could well be that perhaps, you know, the Saints aren't going to offer anything that New England's interested in, whereas Houston might. You know, so it could be that part of that too. I mean, I don't know. But at this point, I'm fairly certain we're going to have to wait till like the last day you can possibly do anything before they do it.
Yeah, you know? I agree with that too. There really is no urgency at this point
to
get this deal done until the draft gets here. Now, once the draft is here, hypothetically, you know, the Saints go and pick a corner at 11. Malcolm Butler's done, you know, or even at 32,
Yeah, well, the bottom line, if the Saints pick a corner in the draft.
They will.
With a high pick.
More than one, but okay.
Then there's, you know, the Malcolm Butler deal is done.
Yeah.
So.
You would think so anyway.
All right. So unless you guys have some more Malcolm Butler news, I feel like it's kind of been beat to death.
It has. Yeah. This has been a long and winding road already.
Like literally nothing. I mean, you know, hey, listen, what else are we going to talk about? It's the off season, and as Lil Dice says, we like to beat our dead horses. We got a whole stable of dead horses over there. We like to get it. Anyway, so in a little bit, we teased it a little earlier, Tomas and his mock draft 1.0.
Yeah, well.
But before we get to that, let's talk about Johnny Manziel and how what a great acquisition. I mean, listen, Drew Brees at the end of his career. He's only got a little time left. Who better to mentor a young struggling quarterback?
Yeah,
that all the talent in the world that he—I mean, he obviously showed when he was in Cleveland.
Yeah,
and bring him in. I mean, there's lots of alcohol.
He's even shorter
parties
than Brees.
Yeah, that's it. You know, now Brees beat what's his name in tennis, so you can't compare the athleticism.
Yeah,
and his arrow and archery.
Ultimately, everybody beat what's his name in tennis.
Yeah, so, I guess so.
But yeah.
No, I mean, what's funny is that when I heard this, I was, who reported that?
Rappaport. Sounds like something.
Rappaport?
And so the thing is that I thought that this was something, was some kind of breaking news that the Saints were maybe considering, you know, like this restoration.
Yeah. And Saints interested in Johnny Manziel.
And then I found
4 months ago they had an omelet together, and that's it. He must be on his way.
And so when I found that out, I'm just like, man, so maybe this discussion needs to be directed towards what's going on in the media today is just ridiculous. It's cascaded politics, sports.
Yeah.
It's, you don't have a story. You just kind of make it up. And no one is held. Journalism is dead.
Right.
There's no more accountability. There's no more.
There's no more news reporters. They're news creators.
Yeah.
And that's what they're all doing today. That's a really cynical view. If you wanted to be less cynical, they have so much competition that in order to try to grab attention for yourself, they'll come up with just about anything. And eventually, something will be right. And then they can go, hey, see, I broke that first. Well, yeah, I told you about that. And of course, like forget about the 500 things I said.
Like
that
the mock drafts,
ridiculous.
Right?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Or Super Bowl, between the championship games and Super Bowl, you have 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you make 6 predictions on what's going to happen. One of them, and you have some tape on that. Look, I picked it right there. Look,
I called it.
Yeah. Mock drafts. You between the end of the season and
mock drafts. I look at those a little bit different because I think everybody understands that you're basically guessing or whatever. But, I mean – you know, when you're trying to just pull stuff out of thin air.
Get the bleeper out.
Yeah. Right. When you're trying to pull stuff out of thin air like that, you know, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, with mock drafts, and quite frankly, I find it funny. Well, and with the guys who the same person puts out a mock draft every 2 or 3 days, you basically just give them a list of people who.
Right.
Drafted about in the area
right.
that you pick the Saints pick that you like.
Right.
So then tomorrow you're like, well, I did my mock draft yesterday, and I like 3 guys, but I can only pick one.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I'm going to do a mock, and I'm just going to pick the other guy that I wanted,
right.
Which means that I picked the defensive end this time, so I'm going to pick the corner at 32.
Right.
And, you know, like, so, like, it
so
does
when
get
you,
a bit
by
silly.
The time you get to mock version 32, you likely to have had one of them right.
Right.
You know?
And so the thing about it is it's still enjoyable because at this time of the year, you just like – what I do is I take these mock drafts and I'll see somebody mock to the Saints. And then I'll go do some research on that guy, and then you're like, oh, you get all excited about him. And then it made me realize that it seems like every year you look at all these players that the team picks. Then you go read about them, and it's easy to get excited about them. You realize there's everybody has something that's exciting about them potential-wise, or maybe, you know, he went to a small school, so you're like, oh, what was that kid's name? He played defensive end 2 years ago. He's picked, I think, in the 5th round. White kid is like a defensive end for the Saints. Can't remember his name. He never made the team or whatever. He played at Tennessee, Chattanooga or something. And had like all kinds of sacks, and you're like
short arms.
Yeah,
the kid with the 2 broken shoulders.
That could, yeah, he did have some shoulder
issues.
He's
in Atlanta. Atlanta picked him up.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Well, and he's an illustration of, like, when I go read about this guy, I'm like, oh, man, oh, there's something about a lot of these guys that you can find the potential in. And
tall.
So, yeah, tall, that's right. Tall, that's cool. And so, anyway, it just, my point is you go read about guys right. and get excited about them, and then it's like after you do your draft, you think you had a great draft because you read about the guys that you really didn't know much about, and it's like, oh, man, look at this tall guy, man. He had 22 sacks, you know, and so and then you realize it's –
Yeah, you know, so, he's had three reconstructed knees, but we got him in the sixth round. That's great value, you know, and you get all excited, and the guy's so, never going to, you know, like
– Speaking of mock drafts, Tomas, are you ready to deliver to the BS and Beer family – the mock draft you have ready to go for us?
Yeah.
1.0?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Well, there are a lot of there's a lot of speculation as to who the Saints might pick. And if you go to all these guys that are on NOLA and Advocate and Canal Street, you know, whatever they are, they all have their little who they think, right? There's been a lot of talk lately about quarterbacks.
Yeah.
For the Saints, they, you know, I always say this guy's name wrong. Mahone. Yes. There's a lot of talk about him. There's a lot of talk about the kid from Pittsburgh, Peterson. I think that's his name. Which of those two, I like Peterson better myself, but I just don't see that happen. Now the Saints have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 picks and 7 drafts, and of course they have the first 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These right here. These are in the top 100. So, I have changed a couple of times, but this is my 1.0 official.
So you flip-flopped a few times with your time.
Well, as we've been talking, you know, nothing written down. This is the first one I've got written down.
Oh, that's why you got all in pencil.
You know, that's ink pen here that just reads some like,
wait a minute,
here,
wait a minute. Squeak, 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 squeak.
No, okay, see, it's printed out from the computer.
All right, all
right. Give me a hard time. All right. So here's my I'm still working on all 32 teams. Okay, I haven't finished that, but this is my idea for the Saints. In the first, and I'm going based on the fact that I do not believe that there'll be a trade for Butler. So I believe we're going to keep the first two first round draft choices that we have, 11 and 32. So with the 11th pick, I have the Saints choosing the defensive end from Tennessee, Derek Barnett.
Barnett.
All right. I think that he fits what we need. As far as the position. Now, it was close between him and...
Taco Charlton?
No. Oh. Sorry, he's not on my list. But if in the case that Barnett is not there and this other kid is there, Haason Reddick from Temple.
Yeah, he's an athlete.
Yeah.
He's real athlete. He's flying up the charts because he is an athlete.
So I don't know either one of those two kids. If Barnett's gone, I'd go with Reddick. If Reddick isn't on the board, then I'd go with Barnett. So that's number 11. At the 32nd pick. Now, again, I went back and forth with this one because I thought, well, at the 32nd pick, you know, maybe if one of these running backs is there. But then I started thinking, I was like, no, I don't think so. Even though on my pick, I did say, when we picked the four positions, I'm the only one that did say running back, you know, for one of the four. And I have one on the list, but. But pick number 32.
Taco Charlton?
No, sir. But almost as bad, Tadobi Awuzie.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
Okay. He is a defensive back from Colorado. He is also moving up the charts.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that about him is just his length. Okay? He's really good at press coverage. So those are my first two in the first round. Now, of course, it's all dependent upon them still being there when it's, you know, when the time comes. But. In round number two, we have the 10th pick. Now, for this one, this is a stretch. I'm going to admit it's a stretch. But I just like this guy so much that I just couldn't pass him up because I think he's going to be there. And that would be another defensive back.
Huh.
Fabian Moreau from UCLA.
Oh, yeah, I like it. Yeah. Man, we'd be...
The injury is a tough thing. And, you know, the Saints pick injured people.
Yeah.
But I just... This guy's got so many positives. That I just, if he's there, which I think he's going to be because he's injured, I can't pass him up in the second round, you know, at number 10. So I know there's two defensive backs in a row, but then again, hey, you know, we could use him. In round number three, we have the 12th pick. With that pick, for all you LSU fans.
Here we go.
if he's on the board, and I think he will be at the 12th pick in round number 3, and that would be Duke Riley, linebacker.
I like Duke.
Yeah.
Very versatile and big hitter, good tackler. So, again, I think that for a linebacker, because we can always use a linebacker in there, even though we've done a lot of, you know, good things there. Okay, so that would be number 12. Now, we have two picks in the third round. At number 39, this is going to be the pick that I give to our coach. I have a wide receiver from Penn State, Chris Godwin. Again, another kid with all of these quiet numbers that people haven't been watching, because Penn State's not one of those teams that everybody watches. But I think a great pick at wide receiver. Then then we don't have anything in the fourth and fifth round. We're SOL, fourth and fifth. We can take a nap. Then in the sixth round with the 12th selection, I go to one of my alma maters for the running back that we would like to see in the backfield. Elijah McGuire, University of Louisiana, Lafayette. Outstanding skills from the backfield. He's sort of that combination of Sproulsy and Bush. So,
all right. I like, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Round number 6. And then round number 7, our final pick of the day. I have nothing. Oh, I really don't. Because I think the other ones that I have on the list won't be there. And, you know, you're talking, this is the 11th pick in the 7th round. It's like, take a flyer. You know, you have no idea.
Nah, I mean, that.
You know, so my suggestion is going to be this. Whatever offensive guard is left on the list that has size but is raw, that's probably the guy we'll pick at that point. Because we didn't pick any offensive guards in any of this list because, as I went through them, there wasn't any worth picking. You know, the ones that are worth picking are in the 4th and 5th round, and we have no 4th and 5th. So I'm not going to give up my first 100, you know, my first 5 picks in the top 100 to a guard.
No, I understand. And at this point, the need is no longer there.
Yeah.
We have two talented guards as it sits right now. And we also have a backup that has some potential in Turner. So whether he develops or not, who knows? But he's still there. So
there you have it. I do have a few kids on the list that are on my list, and it just depends who's there and who's not. I really centered in on defensive backs because of our weakness there, defensive backs. So I didn't mention Quincy Wilson from Florida, but another kid that has all the size that you need. And a, kind of a sleeper kid that's, again, coming up the list now. And I only knew him because he's in the SEC. And that's Cameron Sutton, defensive back at Tennessee. So those two kids I have on the list. And, of course, I like the Hassan Reddick. He's my backup if Barnett's not there. So there you go. There is Mock 1 of Just the Saints.
Well, I tell you what I'd like to do is see if we can get some folks to call us up on the hotline.
Absolutely.
That number is 504-383-3369.
You got it right.
Yeah, I got it right. It only takes 30, 40, 50 times. Mm-hmm. And give us a call. Let us know what you think of Tomas's version 1.0 mock draft.
There you go.
And speaking of the hotline, we have a hotline call from our buddy Lil Dice.
Lil Dice, all right.
Can count on him.
He probably won't like my picks here.
Right after the break.
Okay, he'll probably pick a quarterback.
Well, how y'all doing, Shy? It's Chef Pierre Gautreau, and I want to let you in on a little secret. That's right. This recipe's been in my family for generations, and now it's time to share it with you. Flip-flop pancake mix makes the most delicious pancakes, and it's the best thing since gumbo, yeah. You like blueberry? You like chocolate? Flip-flop pancakes has so many flavors, it's like it changes with the wind. Oh, you'll be spinning around with 180 spices and flavors. Flip-flop pancakes will have you whistling a different tune every time you eat them. So take it from me, Chef Pierre Gautreau. This gonna be the best pancake you ever eat, or I'm not crazy, yes, I.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, so during the break, Tomas asked, so you guys really like Taco Charlton? And so anyway, we were talking about here, Heath got here first. So before Tomas got here, we were talking a little bit about Taco Charlton and Barnett from Tennessee, who Tomas picked in the first round. And my feelings were, I think that Barnett is a guy with a limited ceiling. I think this is what teams.
He's limited?
Yes. And this is what I mean. And it made me think about how teams end up getting themselves in trouble. You have a guy on the board, and you say to yourself, we pick him, and let's use, for instance, Barnett. We pick him, we got 8 to 10 sacks. But that's about all we're going to get, you know, and maybe 10 disruptions.
Wow, that's not much, huh? Okay, go ahead.
No, I mean, okay, I'm not saying it is. But then you got a guy like Taco Charlton, who has a lot of athleticism, who has that prototypical size, length. Now, having said that, you watch his tape, and it's not super impressive. And teams look at it and say, man, if I coach that guy up,
right,
he has the potential to give me 15 sacks a year and 20 disruptive plays. And I think that's where teams say, okay, so do we go with the safe pick and get Barnett, who he's a good, solid player, but probably because of limited athleticism, and I'm talking about relative to other first-round picks, he may never be a dominant player, but he's going to be a good player, and he's going to give us – and the chances are he's going to be a good 8 to 10 sack a year guy and be a solid, productive player, never make the Pro Bowl or whatever. And they end up picking guys like Charlton because they think if we coach him up, he can be a better player because he has those raw skills. So that's where kind of the joke was when I was saying Taco, because he does have all the talent, and he will be there, in my opinion. I think he'll be there at 11. I don't think he'll go until later in the first round. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a team that thinks about, just like I said at the beginning, is the upside. I'm going to get that guy in the building, coach him up, and he's going to turn into a Pro Bowl player. I don't know.
So, man, in your opinion, you don't believe that Barnett is coachable to get to that next level?
No, I didn't say it's not about what I mean by that is I'm trying to say that coaches believe they could take the raw talent of Taco. I'm not saying that Barnett is not coachable. I'm simply saying that he has a limited ceiling. He's not as athletic or explosive as a guy like Taco.
Now,
Charlton.
Who told you he's not as athletic?
I mean,
explosive?
All you got to do is look his numbers from the combine. I mean, it's right there.
Again, if you give a lot of emphasis, if you place your emphasis on combine numbers over actual games, then you may be. I mean, everyone's entitled to the process that they use.
Sure.
And there are a lot of coaches and a lot of teams that do that. They say, hey, you know, it's what he's doing at the combine that really sets him apart. I'm not one of those people because I think, again, wow, he ran a great, 40. Yeah, he trained for 2 months with a track guy to run that 40. Okay, now put a uniform on his behind and have him have to make a coverage, catch up. Right. Not going to be the same thing. One of the things that impressed me about Barnett is his hips. If you look at defensive ends, you know, we talk about when we've had really good defensive ends. You know, Cam Jordan, who we have, he's just a universal kind of guy, okay? He can do a lot of things. He is our Pro Bowl guy, okay? When we had somebody on the other side, whose name I'm not going to mention, who could really put pressure on, it was because he could drop his hips. And that's the thing you look at defensive ends. What can they do with their hips? And if you look at game film of Barnett, you see him constantly beating the defenders that he plays against because of his hips. Didn't see that with Taco. So, athletic, well, what, he can run, 2/10 of a second faster? That doesn't make him, to me, the pick that I would choose. I mean, I'm just telling you how I went through, because I took the top 10 defensive ends, as are listed by everybody under the sun, and went through them and tried to find some film on YouTube to see what they did, or I went to the different sites like CBS and ESPN to see what they have. And to me, it just seemed to me from the film, not from the combine, from the game highlights that they put. And, of course, it's game highlights, so who knows how many times he got his behind beat. But it just seemed to me that when you see a guy, a defensive end, who can really, really get low underneath the tackle, the offensive tackle, then you got a much better chance at putting pressure, making that quarterback have to move.
Sure, there's certain things that they talk about, like a player, a defensive end, or a pass rusher, their ability to bend the corner.
Yep.
And those are important traits that I don't know if there's an actual drill at the combine that can calculate that ability. But what I'm talking about is just, you got two guys at receiver. One of them was super productive in college. One wasn't as productive. But the not-so-productive guy runs 4.3. He's tall. He has all the prototypical size and everything. I'm saying you know, and you see it all the time, is coaches will fall in love with that athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I would choose a guy, because that's the debate we were having, and I never really came to a conclusion. What I'm saying is some of these coaches look at it and say, man, I can get a guy that's going to be average, and he's or above average. You know, I'm not saying this isn't necessarily about Barnett, because I do think he's a good ball player. Mm-hmm. I'm just simply saying that they look at those guys with the athleticism, and the coaches start saying, God, if I could just teach him to, you know, if I can get him to just yeah. I read this the first time I've read this. Someone said if I can get some more glass in his diet, meaning just get him a little bit more, you know, up fired up and a little bit more nasty, you know, we need to get the boy a little bit more glass in his diet.
Yeah.
They think that if they just push the right buttons, they can go from a guy, because you have two guys. I mean, it really does all boil down to athleticism and heart. And this, again, this is my opinion. But I think coaches see that athleticism and they just fall in love with it, and the guy's just not a football player. And how do you define football player? To me, that's heart. Like, no, I never played even on the college level. But just playing, when I played football, there were guys who were faster, bigger, and stronger, and they just, all you had to do was hit them one time and they didn't want to play football anymore. Now, I think to get to the college level, it's a different variant. The difference is, like, they're not that big of a sissy. Because in high school, there were guys who literally, I don't know, why did you even come out for the team? They didn't want none of it.
Right.
But on the college levels, there's a difference between a guy who, like, he'll get in there a little bit, but if you get him up against a guy and knocks his block off, or, let's say a receiver, he don't want to go out and catch another ball again. He's done. So, and it's hard to measure that. It's hard to measure how a guy's going to react when you punch him in the mouth. And that's like the old Mike Tyson thing. You know, it's like everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. I'm fast. I lift weights. I'm tough. I look strong. And they come across, and, you know, the linebacker from Carolina puts a forearm on your throat, and you just, I'm done. I check out the game. You know, and that's the difference to me, that heart, that some, there's no way to measure it, and that's what makes football players, and I think that's why some of these coaches go out and they make bad picks, because they forget about the toughness, the heart, and they pick the athleticism because they think they can turn them into something. And if they don't have the heart, they just can't they'll never be a really good player. Did I mention the Saints were talking to Johnny Manziel?
Anyway. See, he's trying to get away because I'm about to say something to him.
Go ahead. No,
I'm
go ahead. I didn't know. I thought we kind of went on.
I'm going to go let him go.
Well, and I do the same to you. Like, I hear you. Yeah. I'm like, I'll let him say his piece. If you got something
to
say.
Well, let me sum it up. Both of y'all's points are valid. Barnett would be the guy that I would pick without a doubt. But Dave is right in that coaches or GMs, whoever's calling the shots, fall in love with some of these guys, these boom or bust guys that have all of these measurables and, you know, oh, we just know we can coach this guy up to do, you know. You can almost make a similar comparison with what he's trying to say about Barnett in Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan is a solid player. Cam Jordan is not a J.J. Watt kind of guy where
he's a fringe pro
defensive
bowler.
Coordinator is literally going to stay up for a week before the game trying to figure out how to game plan for him. Solid player. You know, he might be the Barnett versus a guy who's, you know, who has all his talent, you know.
No, that point? I agree with that point.
Right. Jordan's a 10-sack guy, you know, and I love Jordan, and I think Jordan is a guy that they do game plan because the Saints don't have anybody else.
Right. Now, and if you just
not
made a
only
point,
because the Saints don't, but you know what I'm saying.
The point that you just made, maybe if I put it in that perspective, I might, you know, and again, okay, now I'm making it sound like I'm the guy advocating for Charlton, and I'm not. I'm just simply, I was trying to make the point of GMs, right?
I agree.
But here's the thing. Cam Jordan is a 10-sack guy. So if you put it in that perspective,
and you
tell me I'm
going to
get another Cam Jordan out of Barnett, I'm like, pick him right now.
Exactly.
At 11, I'll take another Cam Jordan. You know, maybe a different version of Cam Jordan, maybe a guy's.
And don't forget now, depending on what kind of a defensive end they would wind up drafting, Cam Jordan could go back and play on the other side.
Right. Now, wait, Cam Jordan, doesn't he? Okay, I get confused. I see him on the left side quite a bit.
Yeah, and, well, he can move around and all, but, I mean, he could be more of the, what do we call it, the
Joker thing?
The speed rusher?
The Jack side, the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying to you that, in my opinion, Cam Jordan is a 10-sack guy. I don't think he's a fringe Pro Bowler. I think that he is a solid Pro Bowler. He's a 10-sack guy because there's nobody else on this team to do anything for him. So in spite of not having, in spite of being double-teamed and chipped, he still gets 10 sacks. So if you tell me, well, you know, this guy Barnett, he's a 10-sack guy. Great. Put him on the other side, 10 sacks. Now suddenly the other team says, well, hell, we can't keep chipping Cameron, you know, Cam Jordan, because we got this guy on the other side. Now Cam Jordan might become a 15-sack guy.
It's hard to argue.
Now
that.
He might say, no, well, yeah, we have to defend against
don't
him.
Don't disagree with that.
You know? Yeah, no, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. But I tell you what, I think we've had enough tacos for the show.
You have anybody named Burrito?
Let's move on.
A flauta?
And you know what?
Empanada?
Let's talk to
Refried.
All right, now you're just messing with me. All right, let's see what Lil Dice had to say.
Speaking of refried.
Creole, shrimp, gumbo, pan fried, deep fried, stir fried. There's pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, pepper shrimp, shrimp soup, shrimp stew, shrimp salad, shrimp and potatoes, shrimp burger, shrimp sandwich. That's about it.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coonass.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. So just looking at the Saints roster, and after all the moves they've made so far this offseason, I'm pretty sure the writing is on the wall for Stephon Anthony. I mean, the Saints have like 9 middle linebackers right now on the team, and I just don't see the Saints taking Anthony into the season.
Alrighty then. Alright, some more Stephon Anthony. Thank you, as usual, for the call. We appreciate you, Little Dice. You guys all need to jump on the hotline, man. It's the off season. Everything you guys can add to the show, or anything you guys can add to the show, is so welcome. So please give us a call, 504-383-3369. I don't know what else can be said about that that hasn't already been said. You know, golly, I hate to see us giving up on him like that, but there's no way around it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, they don't even have roster spots for him anymore. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that, dang, what's the kid's name from Notre Dame, went to San Diego,
had Teo.
To
grow.
Teo. I don't know if he's actually going to make the team. He's more of a middle linebacker. I mean, that, you know, we don't know
let's
that.
Let's not forget now, they didn't actually have Stephon Anthony at middle linebacker anymore. Nope.
Right, so strong side.
From that standpoint. But it's hard to disagree with what he's saying. Nothing really points to the fact that they have Stephon Anthony in their plans.
No, no.
You know, so.
Yeah, so Lil Dice, I think I mean, I don't know if reinventing the wheel or anything. I'd like
too
to come
early.
Up.
It's still too early, in my opinion.
Go ahead.
You know, you're picking up people. Okay, well, they have such things as camp bodies. You know, you're picking up people. You don't know if these people are going to work into the defense. I think that last year's defensive scheme with Dennis Allen is not going to be the real defensive scheme that Dennis Allen is going to use. I mean, think about it. How many kids do we have on defense who broke their legs? No, I mean, seriously. I mean, think about it. We had 3 players that broke their tibias last year.
You know, you're funny.
You mean, let me understand this, because maybe it's me. I'm a little fucked up, maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
3 of them who would have been starters. So you knew right away he started to make adjustments to the defense. Why we play? I mean, we had Harper at the end of the game, at the end of the season, playing in one of the 3 safeties. Really? Roman Harper? I love Roman Harper, but he's not a starting safety to play 40 defensive plays in a game. You know? So Stephon Anthony is no doubt that he is not the player that they draft. He's not going to fit that position. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to wait and see what Dennis Allen really has in mind for his defensive scheme. And, again, it depends also on who he drafts. Now, you know, Stephon Anthony, they may say we're going to hold on to him one more year. But, you know, there may be a team that says, man, we really need linebackers, to which the Saints might say, we're going to trade Stephon Anthony. We won't get a number one. They'll be hard-pressed to get a number five.
Right.
You know,
I don't think anybody's going to give anything for him, quite frankly.
Well, if a team needs a linebacker, you know, it's a possibility. I'm just saying it's a possibility. But then again, what year contract is he in?
He's
third.
Yeah,
this will be his. He's only been 2 years, right? I mean,
yeah, this will be his third year, and you theoretically have 5 years with the first round.
Four
option.
And an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're still talking about a contract that's, you know, within means. And again, that's why I'm saying to you, if some team has a cap issue like we did and says, man, this guy at least has got some experience playing football, maybe we can coach him up.
Yeah, we coach
him up. He's got all those athletic ability there, you know.
Speaking of teams that need a linebacker.
And maybe the Saints could pick him up. They could coach him up.
Trade ourselves.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Okay. Not really. But we already picked one up that I think is going to be a surprise. So, but anyway, I agree with Little Dice. I mean, as far as, you know, it doesn't look to be a place. But I'm going to say, let's hold on and let's see what pans out during the training camp.
I think you disagree with Little Dice.
Well, I agree with him in that it looks like that there's not a spot. But what I'm saying is that looks can be deceiving. There may be a spot depending on what these other people do in camp.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Hey, you talking to me? You talking to me?
Yeah.
I'll break your kneecaps. How's that? I don't know. Pretty good?
Yeah.
No? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. I'm funny. I amuse you.
Am I? What I like.
Yeah. Like I'm funny. How am I funny? Just all right. So let's get to some serious business now. Our buddy Gary, better known as William Clay, big Detroit Lions fan. Last week we asked for him to give us a call and give us his insight on Larry Warford. So here's what he had to say.
Hey, guys. William Clay here. First off, I'd like to thank you all for posting your podcast again on a timely manner. Your relations are just going very, very well. I don't smoke, but if I did, I sure would want a cigarette. Anyway, Larry Warford, there was a call to action on your last podcast. So Larry Warford, my assessment, he is going to the Pro Bowl for you in 2017.
I like
that. That is my stone-cold. Lead pipe, lock of the 20.
See, I'm not the only one stealing stuff.
Oh, God, that means he's out.
Because one, he's got the talent.
He's going to break his leg.
Two, he has outstanding character. And what I mean by that is there is no way he is going to want to be considered a free agency overpaid bust. So he's going to work his tail off to make sure that everybody in Saints Nation just thinks he's awesome and was worth every penny of it. So there's not time in this 40-second little blurt to give you details on him. So, Dave, I sent you an email looking at the Lions-Saint game from past season and highlighting the skills that Warford has on certain plays. So look in your in-basket for that, and I will close by saying thanks again, guys. Keep those podcasts coming. Keep me happy. Later.
All right. That's our good friend Gary. A huge Lions fan, and obviously you guys don't know him, but he's a very analytical guy. It's kind of part of what he does for a living, and he just goes into detail analyzing things, not only for his team, but just to make points. Like if you get in a discussion with him, he'll come back to next week and have some statistics to back up his point or whatever. So let me read a little bit from the email that he sent. Now, he sent an email. It actually broke down during different parts of the game. You know, first quarter with 11:20, Warford engages the defensive tackle and passes him off to engage a blitzing linebacker. So these are the kind of details that he went in. He actually reviewed the Saints game against the Lions. So he said, as for why the Lions let him go, he said, I had to ponder that after we signed Lang. At first, it made no sense because Lang's contract is roughly equal to Warford's. But after pondering it a bit, I can speculate that Lang will be done in 2 years. His contract is a three-year contract. Quinn drafted Joe Dahl last year out of Washington State. Washington State's a pass-happy offense, and it's clear that while Dahl could start, but his run blocking was inconsistent at the right guard level in the NFL. Enter Lang. Lang will give us two great years. He won't eat up much cap money. In year three, and Lang either is backup or released and Dahl steps in. So I think what Gary's trying to say is that there's a something in place with the guys there in the salary cap saying that we drafted a guy, he's in place. If we kept this, we kind of prevent a guy that they drafted from moving into the spot. So he has nothing but flattering stuff to say about Warford. So and reading this, and it's just, it's like three pages, so I just can't read the whole thing. Gary, I appreciate the time that you took to explain this all the way up until you said, on another note, the Saints can no longer be called the New Orleans Saints. They now have four former Lions, Warford, Tapp, Fuller, and Fairley. You are now the New Orleans Lions. And at that, sir,
yeah,
we can have some issues, but we can talk about them.
Thanks, though, Gary. That was a great read. And I have one potential flaw with his analysis.
Okay.
He did do this breakdown against the Saints defense.
Right.
So
he was amazing.
Yeah, he was awesome.
I mean,
awesome.
Why did we get rid of him?
No, I was just kidding. But anyway, yeah, that was awesome.
No, I think it was a great pickup because just as Gary said on there, he's consistent. You know, Warford is a very consistent player, and he'll definitely do the job. And it makes sense how he talked about Dahl being the guy coming up for Detroit. But I think we've, as Gary said in his email, that we've solved the right guard problem. Yeah, so thanks to Gary for all the details that he gave us on an email. It was really good.
Yeah. All right, well, Gary, thanks again. I guess this is it, man. Any final thoughts, Tomas?
That was all that we had to talk about today?
Yeah, we got it. We went down the list proficiently and effectively. And unless you have something, that's why we give you another shot at it. Unless you got something important.
I'm just going to say that 31 days until the draft.
Is that it? I mean, that much? Golly, man.
Yeah, and that would be April
27. That's a long 30-something days, man.
And I know you're doing something special at the SEC, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to have a draft special party.
There you go.
We're going to sell beer and burgers. And
there you go.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a good time.
All right. We'll be there.
All right. We'll have to – I don't plan that far ahead, but I'm sure we did a little draft extravaganza last year.
Last year. Yeah.
It was a good time. Yeah. You know, and look, as we get closer, we'll do our mock draft like we did last year. Yeah. I think it was lots of fun. It was very exciting at the BS and Beer Plaza here in downtown. Yeah, I mean, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. If you missed it last year, you don't miss it this year.
No, you don't want to, so you got to make sure and be there.
That's right.
Heath, come on. Throw it out there.
I got nothing. No point in beating a dead horse.
Yeah. You know, great answer.
God, what's your sole purpose in this army?
To do whatever you tell me, drill sergeant.
God damn it, Gump. You're a goddamn genius. That's the most outstanding answer I've ever heard. You must have a goddamn IQ of 160. You are goddamn gifted, Private Gump.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.